Hi, my name's Ellie Atherton. I'm launching a podcast called Pearls of Passage, where I'll sit down with different people every week and talk about the mysteries and the beauty around end of life. I hope you'll have the courage to listen. It's based on some of the topics I cover in my books. Since I'm a new author and an indie author at that, I imagine many of you may not have heard of me or my books, Stepping Stones and More Stepping Stones. Here's a bit about how I came to be a midwife to the dying. It started in the 90s when I was working as an herbalist and helping terminal patients find options to elongate their lives. I had no idea I was being primed for my future role as a hospice nurse. In fact, becoming a registered nurse wasn't even on my radar in the early to mid-90s. In late 2000, my life changed. I decided to pursue a nursing career, which I thought might blend well with being an herbalist and offer a solid and steady income. In my last semester, I was assigned to a community hospice rotation, and on day one, I knew what medical specialty was going to be my path: end-of-life care. As a new hospice nurse, I was intrigued and curious about the process of dying. In the first months, I discovered the more I observed, the more curious I became. I was seeing the same scenarios over and over. The same fears were being expressed, the same questions asked of me, and the same behaviors in the dying patients. I was surprised by this. I had expected that each disease would cause people to die differently, and that various religious and spiritual beliefs would diminish some of the questions and fears. But this wasn't holding true. Once I was done with orientation and carrying my own caseload of patients, I began to form quick and comfortable bonds with them and their caregivers. And an amazing thing started happening. Patients were asking me into private and profound conversations with them. I was honored by their requests. I respected their need to discuss their private fears, ask questions they were afraid to ask others, and in return, I offered a sense of calm and trust to them. This was how I learned to be a midwife to the dying and a compassionate and non-judgmental listener for them. The dying patients were teaching me. I've always been someone who enjoyed journaling, so it wasn't long before I decided to carry one in my car so I could record some of the amazing conversations. I didn't want to lose any important details that I might forget if I waited to write at the end of the day when I got home. I knew it would be unlikely that I would find the time or have the energy to do the story justice if I waited. I didn't have lots of time between patient visits to write, so 5 minutes or so was all I would usually spend. Sometimes the details were short and a few lines were all I needed to remember the rest of the story. About a year after I started journaling, I was relaxing at the beach one weekend and had decided to bring my journal to read the entries. I was moved by the stories so deeply, even though I had been present for them and had written them, and I was surprised by how powerful they felt for me. That was the moment I decided that one day I would write a book of short stories about some of the incredible people I was meeting and what they were teaching me. Fast forward 10 years, and now I have a small pile of journals in my bookcase. I attempted to turn the stories into a book so many times I lost count. Sometimes I would find a quiet Saturday afternoon and decide to pull the journals from my bookcase. I would read a few stories and think about how the book would be set up. Should I put all the stories about fears together? Should I disperse the happy stories of patients' final wishes throughout the book to soften the sadness? Who should be the narrator of each story? The patient or the nurse? My questions went on and on. The answers were not obvious to me, and I knew if I didn't set the book up in the best presentation, no one would want to read it. Discouraged, I would tuck them back into their place on my bookcase to collect dust for a few more months, or sometimes years. Many times I dragged them all to the seaside and made myself comfortable on a beach blanket or an oceanside bench. I would try to start the book introduction and preface, but I just couldn't find the words. So I would take a long contemplative walk instead, meditating and asking for guidance as I went. Finally, 15 years after the first journal entry, the stories began to flow like a spring melt rushing down from the mountains. Powerful, necessary, cleansing, changing the landscape of my life. I was revisiting experiences that had been full of sorrow, suffering, and sadness, while at the same time, love, forgiveness, and peace. The privilege of it all felt overwhelmingly surreal. Had I actually been there for all of these moments and so much more? How had I survived witnessing so much suffering and come away with such beautiful life lessons? I was feeling the catharsis of decades of sitting so close to the veil and watching others pass through it. In that moment of emotion, I realized that intertwined with each life I saw ending, I had been given an opportunity for it to breathe new life into me through the lessons the dying offered. Lessons learned through our conversations, their questions, their revelations, and their visions. I was honored by their trust in me as they shared some of the most important moments of their human life. And I love them all for allowing me into such sacred spaces. It's hard to imagine how someone can love caring for the dying as much as I did for so many years. I believe it was possible because it was part of the purpose of my life. I was meant to do the work. I could feel it on the hard days when I thought of giving up. I often felt it in the middle of the night as I drove down empty streets to pronounce a patient in a sleeping town, many miles from my own. On clear nights, feeling ushered by the moon and stars. In winter storms, plows would often appear to clear my way. The silence, the stillness, reminding me that our busy world is just a distraction from what's really happening. Only two things, living and dying. There's so much beauty and wonder all around us. There is energy, love, and support that we don't take the time to access and trust. The smokescreen is thick. And getting down to earth, sitting with the truth of who you are and why you're here, takes a conscious effort. So many dying people told me they regretted working so much, wished they had laughed and loved more, had taken time to smell the roses, that to ignore their messages would be downright foolish on my part. I have listened and tried to make my life reflect what I learned from them, and I am still a struggling student. I hope my podcast can continue to help me grow and help you discover what makes you truly happy in your life, reduce your fears of dying, and triple your joy. The discussions are meant to be thought-provoking. I learned that the unknowns around death are at the crux of most people's fears at the end of life. And so I hope sharing some of the details via these platforms will help to reduce those fears. The podcast interviews will cover many topics, and my guests come from diverse backgrounds. We share in great conversations and some moments of laughter, too. I hope you'll join us. Let me know what you think. Ask me those burning questions. And by all means, bring your open mind. Remember, life offers endless possibilities. We simply need to be open to them. Here's to a good life and a good death. Thanks for listening.